Hello, and welcome to another edition of Harry Balzac Drops In, our series where we take a look at the lives of the people behind the scenes who grease the wheels of our spacefaring existence. If we had grease. Or wheels. This week, I'm visiting a Coriolis station, and I'm talking to one of the landing pad traffic controllers, those ever-patient people who assist in the last part of your docking. My guest today is Mr. Blake Seffen. He's an experienced traffic controller with 4 years spent helping pilots land safely here at Pad 21.
Hello, Harry. I'm glad of this opportunity to talk to your listeners and to try to explain a little about what we in the Association of Pad Registration Inbound Control, or PRIC for short, do to assist all those pilots.
Have you always worked at Pad 21?
Oh yes, it's a family business. The 21, as we call it, is my life.
Quite a few people in Studio 5 expressed astonishment when I told them about this interview. Many have said that they aren't sure that you exist. After all, the towers look deserted. We can't even see you as we come into land.
Well, Harry, there's a reason for that. About 10 years ago, when the companies that control our stations were negotiating with the Sirius Corporation for the equipment to be installed in the pad traffic control towers, there was a mix-up in the specification for all of our control panels. When creating the blueprints, the station builders used meters. But what the Sirius Corporation didn't share is that they enjoy the use of the utterly incomprehensible pig head stick for measuring, and no one thought to check.
Awkward.
Yep, a recipe for disaster if there ever was one. The upshot was that when the traffic control consoles were delivered simultaneously to all of the stations, say what you like about the Sirius Corporation, but they deliver quicker than Father Christmas. Mind you, they only seemed to be able to manage that on a Thursday for some reason. It was then that it was found that all of the consoles were about 2 feet high.
2 feet?
Yep. A whole 60 centimetres.
Couldn't the stations refuse delivery?
You've obviously never had to deal with a Sirius Corporation. There are consequences if you say no to them. How do you think the Horsehead Nebula got its name? And the language they speak in Sirius does not contain an equivalent to the word refund. So that was out of the question as well.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but I couldn't help but notice that you're not exactly tall. But I would say that you do seem to be the ideal height for operating the console. Was that a lucky break for you?
Not at all. This is where I belong, literally. When the station bosses realised that they had thousands upon thousands of consoles that were about to be useless, they set about an accelerated breeding programme to create workers who were ideal for this environment. As it turns out, because of the high cost of the breeding programme, from birth we're classed as Imperial slaves, even those of us in Federation, Alliance, or even Independent Space. I'm the result of several generations of experimentation to create workers who are exactly the right height to operate the consoles. Now, this is fine for us, but the downside is that we're not tall enough to see out of the control tower windows, which is why you can't see us when you land. However, our screens show us what's going on, which is how we can guide you in and dispatch ground crew. Obviously, as part of the job, we have to liaise with the overall station traffic controller. He talks so much that we call him the big giant Sed.
And if the screens go wrong, how can you see what's happening on the landing pad?
We are ready for any emergency. We have glass-fronted cabinets positioned strategically around the room, each with its own hammer, and behind the glass is a periscope.
About the ground crew.
Ah, I think I know what you're implying here. I bet you've never seen any of them either.
Correct.
Simple. The breeding programme was so successful that there are too many of us, even with a 3-shift rota for manning the towers. So we moonlight in other roles, such as ground crew, welders in refinery stations, gardeners in agricultural stations. In all these cases, as you'd expect, the station was built for averagely tall workers, so you still can't see us. On the plus side, this work does count as extra credit towards paying off our debts and freeing us from servitude.
Do you have plans, then, for a new life away from here?
Oh, yes. We dream of a day when we can colonize our own planet. Or even have a station where everything is made to scale, just for us. We've got our eye on Onan's Rest as a location. I'd like to see you Redwoods, that's our name for you lot, manage there.
My thanks to Blake Seffen there. I'm glad to see that we're in safe, if slightly small, hands during landing and takeoff. That's it for this edition of Harry Balzac Drops In. Next time I'll be speaking to a member of the in-flight crew from a beluga and finding out if there really is such a thing as the 75 billion miles high club. Until then, this is Harry Balzac lifting off.